WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom. Or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Fox.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard!
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Money, 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 money.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. RVD Got Screwed. I am the Omega, the be-all and all of our RVD Got Screwed Network. Joining me tonight, RVD Got Screwed, we have Mace.
Okay.
We have Lindsay.
I want to have Dean Ambrose's kittens.
Of course you do.
At least I'm not begrudgingly saying RVD got screwed.
I have no idea what your RVD got screwed talking about.
Sure.
And of course, as always, the one and only RVD got screwed, Tim Stein.
Hey, Omega, RVD like re-debuted in WWE tonight, didn't he?
He did? Didn't catch
what
it.
Happened? What happened?
I don't know. It's weird. The last, like, 40 minutes of my mind is completely blurred.
Screwed.
So Rob Van Dam came out of retirement tonight, huh?
So if RVD got screwed, does that mean Punk got bent over the table?
Bent over the ladder, I think.
I've never seen a ladder go up that orifice before.
Then you haven't watched German dungeon porn?
Only on Saturday nights, right before CB Radio, when there's nothing else to do, and we decide to play evil apples to apples.
Mm-hmm.
Like last night, when the trade dog had a hissy fit because he couldn't win, because he kept playing logical cards when people were picking the fucked up cards, and he kept picking the fucked up cards, and people decided to pick the logical cards. He couldn't figure us out.
That's how you play this game, just playing that out.
Just saying. Just saying. But anyway, yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of VTR Sunday Night Rush Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. We're going to break down the pay-per-view. Did you see it? No? Well, then it's a good thing you tuned in. What? You did see it? Well, feel free to chime into the chat room with your thoughts and opinions, because somebody might pay attention to it. Maybe.
We always pay attention to our chat room, so.
Of course we do. I'm just kidding. On top of that, hey, if you play to one with WTR's Pick'em, you're going to want to find out if you are the Pick'em King or Queen. And, you know, like King Kitten's part, you know, you'd be the Queen. Yes, that was another shot, you little fucker. And he knows why.
We're already taking shots at the listeners, Tim. We're like
no, just,
4 minutes
just
in.
Kane Kittens.
You can't pick on the listeners, Tim. That's just Wong.
Oh.
That's not the Christian thing to do, Tim.
1 point Omega, 2 for Lindsay for following up. Well played.
That was like a rebound, and Lindsay nailed it. Nothing but net, no rim on that shot.
Oh,
thank you, thank
night.
You.
It's gonna be a fun.
We'll be here
show.
All week.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, take your bow, just like CM Punk did, Lindsay.
I did.
There
I
you
didn't
go.
See it, but I did.
Yeah, well, no, you know, on radio broadcast, it's kind of hard to see what you're doing.
Apparently, Kane Kins is taking his spreadsheet and going home.
Oh.
We already have your spreadsheet, so we're
yeah,
good.
There's just something wrong with King Kittens.
All right, now, Tim, you're just going overboard with the joke.
Actually, I was incorporating the, what was it, the Fox newscast that got trolled?
Oh, that thing.
Oh, jeez.
That's amazing.
Oh, I'm surprised nobody caught it when it was first given to him, and I'm like, Ron Burgundy lives.
No shit.
The pilots
well, the
are...
The guy who did the graphics didn't caught it. The guy who's running the teleprompter didn't catch it, and the anchor certainly didn't catch it.
Yeah, the names of the pilots and the air crew, Something Wong, We Too Low, Holy Fook, and what was the fourth one?
One notch up from Some Dumb Ho.
That's just, yeah... Of course, the station is run by a manager called Why You So Dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for the correct hearing of it.
You has just learned the names of the four pilots who were on board the flight. They are Captain Sum Ting Wong, We Too Low, Ho Lee Fook, and Bang Ding Ow. In the end.
That's it, Bang Ding Ow.
Oh, my God.
That has to be, like, the funniest thing.
Oh, jeez.
They got trolled successfully. And, you know, you gotta take your hat off to whoever the fuck did that to them.
God, who... got that...
We just broke Omega.
I've heard it before, but it just gets dumber every time I hear it, because you can't even say that and not hear what you're saying. The anchor's got the IQ of a lemon pie.
No, I think I got it figured out because, you know, Anchorman 2 is coming out. The Legend of Ron Burgundy Lives. I think it's just a setup for promotion for the new movie.
Oh, yeah. This is
yeah,
viral marketing
sure.
at its finest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be the ultimate in viral marketing. I wonder how much the studios paid Fox for that. Just wondering. Anyway, why don't we get into this pay-per-view thing with the free match. That was on WWE.com, guys.
It was a heck of a free match, too.
Yeah, it was tag team title match. The Usos take on.
I'll tell you my thoughts, but we'll be back in 60 seconds.
Go on.
Oh, I get it, because there was a commercial. Yeah, okay. Yeah, the Usos taking on the Shield for the tag titles. And, yes, it was a... okay, the buzzword tonight, kids, is solid.
Yeah, that is a good word. I wonder who used that all night.
All night long. You and Spug were both using that all night long. Well, that was a solid match. Yeah, it was pretty solid.
Pretty solid.
That was a solid move.
This matchup was a slow starting before the first two commercial breaks during the match. But when it came back from the second one, holy crap, this one was really good.
Started to get off the hook just a tiny little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and of course, the Shield retained their titles. Who's surprised by that?
I don't think many people were surprised, Tim.
I don't think it was surprising at all. Vicky on the free commentary, the like ESPN style desk. How enjoyable was that?
So, Lindsay, what do you think of the match?
I thought that's what you figured. Lindsay, what is your opinion of the match? And Rock, you're an asshole.
I thought it was great. It was slow to start, but as they built towards the end, the spots picked up. The four-man suplex off the top rope, holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
They took a lot of high risks in this match, especially at the end, and it was really well done. You can tell that Roman's improved greatly since he's been called up to the main roster. He's still not 100%, but he's definitely gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Seth are as solid as they always were. I had a sad when Dean didn't come out with them, but I'll get over it.
Well, you should have gotten over it because he came out right afterwards.
I know. He stood on the table with them. They did the fist bump, and then he pointed at the briefcase. But I had a little moment where I got a bit verklempt. As far as Vicky on the commentary, I don't know. I see Vicky, and I just automatically mute. Like, it's automatic.
I just went to the kitchen and grabbed stuff. I didn't need to. She came on, and it's Vicky. I got to go grab stuff.
It's Vicky. Mute.
Mute. What I liked in this match was the Shield took out one of the Usos' partners, and then the Usos returned the favor later in the match, taking out one of the Shield's partners when they were going for the tag. I like how they worked that into the story of the match. Really well done.
By the way, was I the only one wondering why the Usos never do twin magic?
Yes, you were the only one wondering.
I was just curious. The Bellas do it. Why can't the Usos do it?
Well, the Bellas can't really get away with it anymore because one of them had the enhancements that points her out as being somewhat different.
Only one ref was looking at the enhancements. All the rest still buy it. They'll get the other one the enhancements, and it'll be fine. They'll be able to do it again.
I'm with the one ref, and I think there's one person minimum on this phone call who's with me. Mace? Back me up. Please?
Never.
Bastard. You're saying never just because it's me asking.
Pretty much.
Pretend it was Omega who asked you.
Okay.
There you go, I win. Omega, you can back me up or not. I don't know. I'm not sure if you're like that or not.
No, I'm never getting behind you, Tim.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think we want him to.
Okay, that was just...
So who the fuck gave the Usos some sort of, like, talent and actually, you know, the ability to put on a half-decent match? When did this happen?
That's the whole swerve to the characters. They've been told to go out there and look mediocre until it was time for their push.
Mace will get this point. They upped their attributes in the game.
So they cheated!
Yeah, that's how they did it.
They leveled up.
They leveled up. They took creatine.
Basically, this might be the only chance we get, so we're going to step it up about 16 notches and go for it.
There you go.
And that's what happened.
I think it was the Ultimate Warrior style face paint.
That too.
The face paint has, you know, reinvigorated them, so.
They're high off the fumes.
Mm-hmm. They gave
this match up a lot of time, which was impressive, because it was actually on the main show. We probably would only get like 5 minutes.
If that.
So it's.
Are you including ring entrances for both of them?
Mm-hmm.
Without cutaways?
Mm-hmm. Because you don't have time on the pay per view, and putting them on a pre show was a smart move. At least that's what I think.
Yep. And despite the 2 60-second commercial breaks, they gave them enough time, I think.
And they were well-timed commercial breaks. It's like a match on Raw, really quick, 60 seconds, nothing.
No.
Nothing, you know, really took away from the match. They did that last month, and it caught people off guard the first time, and people shouldn't be caught off guard anymore.
Oh, definitely not. Absolutely not. But, good match. Kudos, guys. Good job all around for warming up the crowd for the beginning of the pay-per-view, which happened to be the Money in the Bank world title.
This crowd didn't need any warming up, Tim.
It didn't. This crowd was almost Canadian. They were so into things.
No, they were not Canadian.
I'm
getting
a heat for that one. There you go.
No, they were not Canadian.
Oh, shut up.
No.
Now, you can deny it all you want, and I don't really give a damn.
No. They were just chanting for somebody all night long.
All they were. Even during the pre-show match even took off, they were chanting a certain set of letters.
Yes, to, you know, quote you, Tim, RDV, RDV.
RDV? Hey, come on now, that was several weeks ago.
I'm quoting you, Tim.
Yeah, that was like several weeks ago. Come on, get over it.
No.
Anyway, we had Dean Ambrose, Fandango, Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Demon Sandow, Jack Swagger, and Antonio Cesaro.
We the people.
I'm telling you, somebody needs to buy that guy a lawnmower for that mustache.
It's Dutch. You don't mock the mustache. It's at epic levels at this stage.
I just mock Dutch. Deal with it.
You might have to fumigate it every now and then, but you leave the Snidely Whiplash too.
I mean, what man in this day and age can pull off facial hair like that? Not many.
I still say he's like two steps away from tying a diva to railroad tracks. I want to see it.
His mustache has to be a lot longer and thinner first.
They can make that happen.
He needs a lot more. Yeah, he needs a lot more butch wax and just twist the shit out of that thing.
Well, he's already curling it at the end, so I think he's getting there. He's just going for the more natural look.
Mm-hmm. So, let's talk about the match, Lindsay. What's your thoughts and opinions and shit?
Well, basically, I thought the pre-show said, hey, assholes, follow this, and, well, they followed it. And they stepped it up, and this was the match that we were all kind of going, it's not going to be really that good because there's nobody really in it, and all of these guys went out there, and they had something to prove, and at least for Dean and Cody, they proved it.
Yeah, that's so much for a bathroom break match. Hey, Tim.
Hey, I'm not the only one. Fuck off.
Yeah, but I can get the reaction on you, so that's where it went.
Yeah, there you go. And if I recall correctly, I offered up the Divas match as the bathroom break last week, so there. You guys disagreed with me, thinking that because they played it out so well. We'll get there when we get there. Don't worry about it.
This was an impressive matchup, though.
It was a good showing. It was.
They actually pulled out some unique spots. That one spot where they had Dean Ambrose by his head in the ladder and raising him up. Wow.
And then he gets
Dean
on
Ambrose.
Top of the ladder?
Mm-hmm. Dean Ambrose skinned the cat on a ladder. Took him two tries, but he skinned the cat on a ladder.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, commentary team were like, guys, don't do that. He's going to grab the briefcase. That would have been something to see.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been. That would have been.
What about the spot where Cesaro was on
Swagger's
shoulders?
Just about to go there, yeah. Talk about it. Tell us what happened, Omega.
I've seen that spot before, but that's probably one of the better times I've seen it work with Cesaro basically piggybacking on Swagger's shoulders, and I don't know how you arrange that so that Cesaro gets the briefcase instead of you. I never would have done it. I don't care if the same guy's paying me. But it's a really goofy looking spot, and honestly, you know, for as long as it takes to set up, I just scream, whoa, just go grab a ladder.
Yeah, it did take long enough to set up, didn't it, Lindsay?
Just a bit, but I think it was worth it in the end just for the drop kick from Cody Rhodes. He was Mr. Shiny Pants tonight, by the way.
Yeah, talk about his tights.
correspondent.
Yes, our fashion correspondent, Lindsay Ward.
Somebody was channeling Goldust tonight. Just a little bit. Cody Rhodes had
Goldust in his pants.
Yep, pretty much. Cody had on literally shiny gold tights with black accents. So for one night he could say, kiss my shiny metal ass.
And there you go.
Cody was on a roll in this match.
Mm-hmm. He hit three crossroads on people at one point.
He hit a muscle buster. I didn't know he was capable of that.
Yeah, let's talk about that. They had a ladder set up in the corner. You had Rhodes put Cesaro up in the muscle buster and drop him right on the ladder. Wow.
Ow.
Yeah. And then Twitter went, oh, it's Samoa Rhodes.
There were a lot of spots in this match that were extremely unexpected because they really went for it tonight. And you could say that about a lot of matches. They didn't hold back. There wasn't a lot of concern about safety. Everybody tonight went for it.
There was go ahead, Micah.
I want to say the undercard, especially tonight, really went out and proved themselves.
Yeah.
It seems like the matches that I didn't expect to do much are the ones that did the most.
Right. There was a spot with Fandango where he did that sunset flip powerbomb on the Barrett. That was impressive.
That was sick. Well, even though he dropped Barrett on his head.
Yeah, well.
That was still a nice move.
Mm-hmm. And then, someone was going up for the briefcase. I can't remember who at this point, but I believe it was Cody. And then he got attacked, Lindsay, by a couple of fellas.
Yeah, gee, the Shield interfered. What a shock.
I don't know if anyone called that one.
No, I don't know if anybody called that one either. Gee, the Shield come in to help their buddy Dean, and well, the Shield fell a little bit short, but it led to a pretty epic spot.
Which we'll get to in a second. Yes, they fell short. Why, Omega?
Yeah.
A certain couple of face-painted guys decided to show up.
Apparently they're right. The face paint has empowered them.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason.
They actually made it onto the pay-per-view as the Usos came in and, you know, stopped the Shield's interfering and, you know, stopped Dean Ambrose from getting the briefcase. And everyone was brawling at ringside. And then, well, something happened, Omega. Want to explain it for the people?
Someone almost died.
Yeah, someone almost died. In one Dean Ambrose.
Someone had to take one of those big splash everybody from one ladder fall spots. And, well, Dean drew the short straw.
Yeah, Dean drew the short straw and got knocked off the ladder onto about 5 or 6, 7 people at ringside. Down they all went, and this left one person, Tim, one person. To go after the belt, the briefcase, and that was Cody Rhodes.
It was Cody Rhodes.
He climbed that ladder, and the fans are behind him. It's Cody's time.
Wait a minute now.
What?
Is it really Cody's time?
Well, it looked like it was going to be Cody's time, but what happened?
Everybody was convinced.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what they say, there's no friends in love and Money in the Bank matches.
And what happened?
Damian Sandow, with a sneaky, sneaky, sneakiness of Damian Sandow, knocks Cody out the ladder, grabs the briefcase, and he is the new Money in the Bank world title holder. Briefcase holder.
I guess they are no longer best friends, Lindsay.
I would guess not, but it's going to be interesting how they play that off if they talk about it tomorrow. But I think one thing that we all forgot in that subtle detail during the match that they never really discussed or talked about is they actually showed Damian Sandow crawling behind like the announcer table over by the timekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he was for the majority of the match, is he hid over there for the majority of the match.
Until
everybody else had been taken out and it was down to one person and he knew he could beat them, and that was a really well done, clever finish.
It was. It was quite the kudos making moment.
I guess you can say Omega brains over brawn.
Well, when there's both supposed to be brains, I'm not quite sure about that.
Well, apparently Sandow's got a bigger brain pan. He's not the son of the son of a plumber.
Is that some kind of derogatory statement against sons of plumbers?
No, grandsons of plumbers. You're not the grandson of a plumber, are you, Omega?
Not that I know of.
Okay, so I'm not directly insulting you this time.
Tim Stein is racist against grandfathers of, grandsons of plumbers.
But no, it was all in all, the match itself was good. The ending was absolutely spectacular, and it was great, like Lindsay was saying, how Damian Sandow basically hid his ass behind the announcers for the entire match until it was time to steal it from Cody.
It's a very edge tactic.
And it came across, as we were saying with the pre-pay-per-view free match, you know, follow this, bitches. And they went like, okay, we will.
Yeah. And it was nice because it played into Sandow's character so beautifully and so perfectly. It's like, I can't beat you physically, so I'm going to beat you all mentally. Because I can.
Mm-hmm.
And the kicker, you know, when you look at the spreadsheet that Kane Kittens threw together, Rock, why did you change your mind on Thursday?
Lindsay can back me up. I was torn on Thursday.
You were which?
I was torn between the two.
Oh.
Yeah, he was. He really was. And it was like, we actually talked about it after the show, and it's like, as much as we want Sandow, because we both wanted Sandow, it's like, they're not going to do it. They're not going to give him the briefcase. They don't like him that much.
See, now, here's the problem with WWE. They're starting to listen to our discussions after we're off the air.
Yeah, because somebody is a mole.
Mace. He's ignoring us, but yeah, Mace is the mole.
I would ignore you too if I was Mace at this point in time. There might be one or two people wondering what the fuck we're talking about.
Mace is
the mole. By the way, if this is the first time you've tuned in, thanks for joining us. Be warned, we swear.
Yes, Matt Goldberg, I see you in our chat room. Earmuffs.
Yeah, yeah. Ian, put the kids to bed.
Earmuffs.
Hi, Matt.
So, there you go.
Yeah, that's all good. It was very entertaining and wonderful. And normally, this is what happens with all wrestling shows, not just pay-per-views. Your opening match gets the crowd hot and into it. Your second match brings them down a little bit because you want people on a roller coaster when you present a wrestling show. You want to give them highs and lows. Normally, we have a match that's like, a bit of a sleeper that bring you back down just so you can wind back up for the third match. They didn't need to do that tonight.
No, they didn't.
No, they had Brad Maddox.
And, well, I can sum up everything Brad Maddox said in this little clip.
Thank you, Vicky! Thank you, Vicky! Thank you, Vicky! Thank you, Vicky!
And of course, me clapping was a lot louder than the crowd at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And in typical, awesome Philadelphia fashion, they completely, totally no-sold Brad Maddox.
110%.
Thank you, Philly.
Thank you, Philly.
The worst reaction you can get.
None at all.
We react to everything in Philly, and when we don't react to you, well, you got a problem.
There you go, yeah. So, thank you, Brad Maddox, for allowing everybody to go and, restock their libations or, replenish the bladder reservoir, as it were.
Anyway, to fill in the people who did not see this part, he came out and thanked Vicky for everything and showed a video montage of her entertaining moments.
Basically him trying to be a jackass, and it just went over like a fart in church, basically. I don't think anybody really got any enjoyment out of it. Like, by the time The Miz came out, it's like, oh, thank God. It's I'm over.
I'm just trying to figure out, I get the fart, but what's church? You know, I don't get it. So. Anyway.
Google it, Tim. Google it.
Google
it, yeah.
Google is your friend.
Especially on Saturday nights. Anyway.
No.
Omega's like, fuck you!
Ponies and Google are your best friend. Just pointing that out.
Well, it wasn't Omega that had a problem with the ponies last night. Which is an interesting way of saying it. Anyway.
Anyway, let's move on to the next match.
I wish I had the power to... Never mind. The next match, Miz versus Curtis Axel for the Intercontinental Championship title. And I wasn't really sure what to expect from this, because I'm still not sold on Curtis Axel. I just... Yeah, sure, he's good in the ring and all that other stuff. He just, to me, does not have it.
He's missing something.
Yes, he's missing something. But this match kind of surprised Omega.
Did it?
It kind of surprised. It
was surprisingly underwhelmed.
It was good. It was better than I expected.
I thought it should have been on Raw.
So
it's got this guy you're pushing to the moon, and it's got a former WWE champion. They're competing for one of the best belts in the history of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I should have gotten it for free.
Well, I don't want to say technically you did, but technically you did.
Hey. No. Tonight, no. I paid for my stream tonight.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
No, I had a very nice HD stream.
No. I'm trying to say I don't know what you're talking about. We all always pay for streams because that's what you do.
Of course.
Wink, wink. Anyways.
I was shocked and disappointed. They threw out Paul Heyman.
I was just tickled pink that happened, Lindsay.
I was done when they threw out Paul Heyman. Literally, I was done. I'm sorry. I said it on Thursday. I'll say it again.
If they throw out Paul Heyman, I'm done?
No. They had a much better choice than to go with Miz and Curtis Axel. Mm-hmm. They could have gone Jericho, Curtis Axel, and Miz and Ryback, because honestly, those are the two better feuds. That's who they've been working with on TV. Those would have been the better match choices.
It's already over with Miz and Ryback. Miz beat him into submission.
And couldn't you have Ryback get that one moment of redemption when he beats the Miz on pay-per-view for the first time in a year?
No. Now, hang on, kids. There's a pay-per-view coming up in August.
Well, nobody's going to care about it by then. The time to do it was now.
Not necessarily. They have a month and change to get there.
They finish it on SmackDown.
Not blowing anybody's hopes out of the water, Rock.
You're welcome.
For what it was a good match. You know, mm-hmm. It's when they threw out Paul Heyman, I think the crowd and everybody was like, yeah, we're done. The crowd wanted Heyman.
The crowd wanted Heyman. It was full of freaking Delphia.
But Heyman wasn't done, thankfully, but we'll get there.
We will get there, and that's true, yeah. Now, when Miz made that big, huge noise by smacking himself and then falling down onto the ground with the referee's back turned, how many people are thinking, hey, he watched Eddie Guerrero DVDs?
Yeah, he did.
That was actually hilarious and impressive at the same time. It's like, well played, Miz. Well played.
Well played. And nice tribute, even if it wasn't intended, and we're supposed to not remember shit like that. Yeah, but...
No. Eddie's the one we can remember.
He's the one we can remember,
Eddie.
So, Lindsay, are you underwhelmed? Or were you underwhelmed, like Omega?
Honestly, I don't remember it.
Okay.
I threw out Heyman, and that's really the last I remember it.
There you go. Well,
I think
like
I got up to make dinner.
Okay, like I say, I didn't have problems with the match. When you compare it to two other matches that were on the card, it actually, I would say it shone dully. It shone.
They started the pay-per-view really, really hot.
Yeah.
And then they had Brad Maddox come out, which killed the crowd, and it killed the fans watching, because it's just like Brad Maddox really went too long, and then they followed it up with this.
Mm-hmm.
And this really did nothing to help bring the crowd back up, I'm sad to say. This could have been actually a really good match had they built it properly,
mm-hmm.
but they failed to do that, and I can't blame Miz and Axel for that. This is solely on creative, as far as the fact that they're like, oh yeah, Miz and Curtis are going to go for the Intercontinental title, and we're going to have them, you know, do commentary and come out and interfere in each other's matches, but we're not going to have them, you know, actually feud. We're just going to flirt with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to go on pay-per-view and nobody's going to care. And it's like they could have actually really built a nice feud for Axel to help establish him further, either with Miz or with Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And helped give him that credibility that he so desperately needs right now.
Speaking of credibility, and this is one point I did not like about the match, they had him, the Miz, kick out the perfect flex. They're trying to establish this as his finisher, and if people keep kicking out of it, it's sort of diminishing it. At least that's what I'm thinking.
Well, nowadays everybody's kicking out of everybody else's, you know, finishing move, and it's almost like they're treating finishing moves the way they've started treating titles. Just, you know, added scenery, if you will.
But if you're trying to establish Curtis Axel, that's one move, because if you remember back to his father, no one kicked out the perfect flex.
Yeah, no, I know. I think there was only like twice in the entire time he ever put that move on anybody that you saw somebody actually successfully kick out of it, and literally twice.
Yeah, that was about it. And now twice in a week somebody's kicked out of it. Not smart. The figure four tease was nice at the end of this one where they reversed it. But beyond that, it was a decent, solid match, I guess.
Yeah, it, you know, it wasn't painful to watch, which, as far as I'm concerned, is pretty much just about the most important thing. If it's painful to watch, that's not good.
Right.
As, so to speak, if you will.
If you will. So Curtis Axel keeps his title.
He did. He won. And that just, you know, that part of it sucked, because I don't like Curtis Axel.
Well, there you go. You don't like Curtis Axel. He's going to keep the belt for a while.
Because I don't like him, and they're going to, oh, fuck him. He doesn't like him. We're going to keep the belt
down
on
him. Down your throat for weeks on end.
Months. It's going to be months.
Months. Because Tim Stein doesn't like him. That's why Curtis Axel will main event WrestleMania, and Tim Stein will have to sit there and take it.
And they're just going to be dicks about it that way, too.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Fine. Figures. Hate Dean Ambrose, so we'll get more of him.
No, I like Dean Ambrose.
That's why he's not on TV. Hate him!
Anyway, let's move on.
Just for you, Lindsay? No.
You can't see, but I'm sticking my tongue out at you right now.
I figured that you would, you know what I mean?
They had a unique SummerSlam video this time around, showing all the guys when they were younger. It's different.
Yeah, I missed this, so why don't you tell us about it?
They showed Triple H, CM Punk, Randy Orton, AJ, Flat, and John Cena, and a couple of others, I believe. And they just flashed them as they were younger to older. It was just, you know, before they were stars type show. No, it's for SummerSlam.
I see.
It was unique. It was a different way of promoting the show.
And
so
you liked that.
When the majority of them had hair?
Yes, when a majority of them had hair. Hunter had hair. CM Punk had spiked hair. They all had hair.
That's weird. That's just weird. That's all.
It is, but you'll probably see the commercial for the next like 5 weeks on Raw. Anyway, move on to the next match, Tim.
There you go. Yeah, up next is what we normally tell everybody. It's the bathroom break, but the build-up was actually not a horrible build-up, and it was entertaining enough and intriguing enough. You wanted to see what the hell was going to happen, despite some of it being somewhat over the top on occasion. We're talking, of course, AJ versus Caitlin for the Divas title.
The segment on SmackDown this past Friday to build this up was tremendous. The contract signing.
Mm-hmm.
Those two, it was the first time they've ever done a contract signing for ladies. And it was really well done. They had AJ reading text messages from Caitlin was sending to Big E when, you know, that whole romance thing was building. And it led to a really awesome line from AJ.
Hulk smash!
Great line. And then we came to this match, and it was okay.
The match, yeah, the match itself, it was, you know, it had parts of it that were really good and parts that were, you know, it's a typical Divas match in the WWE. What do you expect?
It was better than your average Divas match. It didn't live up to last month's match, but it was fine.
Apparently, it didn't live up to Thursday night's Impact ladies match.
Oh, that was a fantastic ladder match. If you haven't seen that ladder match, go find it somewhere on YouTube. Tremendous ladder match between Taryn Terrell and Gail Kim.
Yeah, see, I'm going to be one of those guys that has to go and look for the goddamn thing because I missed it.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. You're going to want
it. You got to go see it.
It was great. But this was fine. They told the story. Caitlin came in injured, apparently, with an elbow injury, and that's what they basically focused on in the match.
Mm-hmm.
People on Twitter were going crazy. Oh my god, Layla's going to turn. She's going to turn on Caitlin. No.
No,
kind of sort of didn't happen, Omega, did it?
No, not really.
Major turns rarely happen on pay-per-views.
Change your mic source.
Purple Monkey Dishwasher. Okay.
There you go.
Good job.
Did you just say Purple Monkey Dishwasher?
I had to make sure the mic worked.
Okay, well, that's a new one. Cool. So, yeah,
I like AJ's finisher. I like the Black Widow submission.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great submission.
Yeah, I like that the best diva in the company right now is using a submission finish.
Mm-hmm. I love how she puts it on.
Oh, she looks like a goddamn luchador putting that thing in.
Oh, yeah, she's just, like, spinning right around, and it's almost like you expect, like, a Hurricane Rana.
Yeah.
Or a head scissor takedown, yeah.
And all, she whirls herself around, you know, like she's gonna hit a head scissor. And then all of a sudden she's wrapped and tangled up in her opponent. It's like all of a sudden the spinning stops and the submission's in. You're like, when the hell did that happen?
Yeah, and, you know, like watching AJ and seeing her in the ring against her opponents, I remember a quote from The Rock several years ago when Tobey Maguire was doing Spider-Man with the Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, that he had a hard time buying Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man, as the superhero, because he was just too small for the part. And with AJ, I'm like that with AJ when she's in the ring. It's like, she's too small to be doing shit like this until she locks in that Black freaking Widow. And I'm like, okay. That worked.
So
AJ proving size doesn't matter.
Yeah, you got to give her credit. What little ass she has, she works off in a match.
Yes. Agreed.
So basically, Lindsay, she's a spider monkey.
She's a something. I don't think we can quite classify her yet, but yeah, she's... And I think this is where... Because she has wrestling experience prior to WWE. Mm-hmm. A shocker, and I think this match, it's like they got lucky, I think, with AJ and Caitlin the first time, and this one was more of a stock standard Divas wrestling match, and this didn't have the same intensity. I think you saw the limitations of Caitlin in this match more than you saw the limitations of AJ.
Well, it was like AJ looked like the bigger pro wrestling star than Caitlin. Now, the question is that because of him trying to, you know, work through her selling an elbow injury, or is that just Caitlin's, just not that good?
Her shortcomings a little bit? So.
I think it's a little from column A, and I think it's a little from column B. AJ's experience shines through. I don't know how much she has, but she obviously gets it a lot better in some cases than Caitlin. Mm-hmm. And I would be curious to see if they found a diva with a similar background to AJ's, you know, daddy, who could...
What was that?
You know,
what was that?
Gesundheit.
I didn't quite hear that.
Yeah, you know. Sorry, you know, got this cold from Canada. Just
I don't think so.
But anyway, where you put a diva who has similar experience in the ring, and you have AJ and her go either natty or maybe even someone like Tamina. I was actually, when they, over the summer, introduced, you know, Tamina versus AJ, it's like, hey, this could be really cool because you have little itty-bitty AJ taking on Tamina, who's huge.
Mm-hmm. It won't be Tamina for a while. She's busy over wherever Hercules is being filmed because she has a role in the movie.
Well, okay then.
Yeah, so we won't be seeing Tamina for a little while because she was started filming the other day.
But, you know, it's just to give, because AJ actually set a line at the contract signing, which is sadly really kind of true. Nobody cared about the Divas division until she won the title.
Yeah, that's very true.
And when AJ won that title, everybody paid attention. Mm-hmm. And she's been highly visible with it. Whereas previous champions like Caitlin, who were good, could rarely get TV time, and when they were on TV, they didn't have the title with them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I think she's going to do good things for the division, but they need to find her people that can match her on certain levels. And sadly, I think they hit the wall with Caitlin on this one.
Quite possibly. But what about Layla? She climbs into the ring with Layla. Can Layla keep up with her?
That would be an interesting mix. I'd be curious.
Because,
to see that.
Yeah, I sincerely believe that will wind up being the next diva feud for the title.
Well, that's not hard to piece together.
Yeah, not hard to imagine. I understand. However, they've been known to not do the obvious before.
Yeah, we know but
I mean, quite honestly speaking, who else have they really built besides Caitlin and Layla? All the other divas are busy filming the reality show.
Yeah, true.
Think about it. You're, aside from the divas doing the reality show, the three most visible wrestling divas are AJ, Caitlin, and Layla, and none of them wrestle full time.
Oh, please. Please tell me they are not keeping the Bella twins from wrestling. Oh, no. Oh, no, oh, no.
The only reason you're not seeing a Bella in action is because the other one's injured.
Yeah, she's hurt.
So they can't do twin magic, so...
Well, which way...
So they have nothing.
Which one's hurt? Is it Daniel Bryan's, or is it John Cena's?
Cena's.
See, it's those goddamn five moves all the time.
He tried that six move and, well... You know.
It was just like, no go.
Anyway. Hold on. So you're saying Cena's sixth move is like if Jericho ever pulled out the 1001 move?
Yes.
1004, and she'd be dead if that happened. I still love that I got to ask that.
If you haven't, if you don't know what Omega's talking about, go back into the archives right here at WildTalkRadio.com and listen to our interview with Y2J Chris Jericho from March.
Yeah, and Jersey Girl, no, that doesn't mean Cody Rhodes is going to be released. That means that they're, like, finally 100% breaking up the tag team so they can concentrate on pushing Damian Sandow.
And Cody Rhodes has more important things to do. He has a duel scheduled with JBL on the JBL and Cole show on YouTube.
No way, really?
Mm-hmm. A gentleman's duel.
But now they have to find another heel tag team for the tag division. Because the Shield's kind of it.
Well, we just have Swagger. We have Swagger and Cesaro now.
Yeah, that's true, we do.
Swagzero.
We the people.
The chat room says Wyatt family. Too early.
They haven't technically entered the division yet. They've done nothing
except debut, and let's face it, that was one of the best debuts going in a long freaking time.
Oh, good lord.
That entrance.
The entrance is sick, but they took Kane's head off. I'm extremely conflicted.
Watch Lindsay's head explode live right after Raw.
11:30
Pretty much.
Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like, wow, that was amazing. And they just killed Kane.
Oh, wait, don't!
Pretty much, yeah. That was what I was yelling at the TV.
That's pretty much what happened. And it is kind of almost exactly how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Anyway, moving on, Tim.
Up next, everybody's favorite match. Okay, I lied. This one was, yeah.
This was bad.
If you got to worry about taking Nightall, watch this match. Jericho versus Ryback.
This is where Omega cries.
Was the entertaining part of the match. Jericho could not save the match. This is something amazing to say. I'm sorry. It sucked ass, and it's not Jericho's fault.
Jeez. Ryback botched running in a straight line.
How can you screw that up? Run from point A to point B.
He must have been riding in a car with Sin Cara.
Ooh.
I think it's official. I think he now needs to be the first one referred back to the brand spanking new
WWE
training center.
Yeah,
WWE
no shit.
Performance center now.
I'm getting offended at the constant Goldberg chance because at least I could watch a Goldberg match.
All right. Think about this. It's been a year plus since Ryback's been debuted, and they're still chanting Goldberg. Sort of means you're not over.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, even Jericho tried to change the chant to Cryback. Worked for
a week.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
10 minutes, okay.
Yeah, he's kind of a lost cause at this point. It's, yay, he finally gets his first win after a year of jobbing on pay-per-view after pay-per-view after pay-per-view, but I think at this stage, his momentum's just gone. I mean, you've had him lose pretty much constantly. You had him quit a match. Not tap out, not get counted out, not walk away, quit a match on Raw.
So, no, see, you're missing the point. He's lost every other match on pay-per-view except for this month's pay-per-view, because they're setting up him as the man to be undefeated at Money in the Bank. He's now 2-0. He's starting his own streak on a pay-per-view.
You know what? He and his streak...
Does that mean we only have to see him once a year?
I'm sorry, Rock, you're evil, and you know why I'm saying that.
You know that. You know I'm always evil.
Yes.
Well, you know what? The Shield can come down, and they can powerbomb him through an announce table, and they can send him back to the development center, because good lord, the man needs to be developed some more.
They gotta get rid of him, and then maybe 6 months later, after you know some training, Kip Sheffield should debut.
They tried that once and it failed too.
What are we gonna do with this Goldberg fucking guy?
Grow some hair.
I hate to be really down and really negative on the guy, but it's like, yay, he wins. Who cares? You know, really, seriously, this victory at this point, who cares? It doesn't change the past. It doesn't change that he has the personality of a piece of stale bread.
Yeah. I just feel sorry that Jericho, Y2J, a guy of that caliber, actually has to job to this jabroni.
And it wasn't like it was a, you know, big move that put Jericho out. It was a misleading salt into his roll-up.
No, there wasn't even a... I refuse to call whatever that was a roll-up.
That wasn't a roll-up. That was here. I'll just hold your legs up and pretend you're pinned, okay?
It was supposed to be a roll-up, I guess.
Well...
He needs help. He needs so much help.
He needs to not ride in the same damn car as Sin Cara.
Yeah.
Pretty sure Sin Cara can perform a roll-up.
I'm pretty sure if you put Sin Cara and Jericho together, it would be less botched and less boring than what this was.
Hey, Sin Cara did a good job on Friday Night
SmackDown. Yeah, he did. He was the best he ever looked.
That was the best Sin Cara ever. Wait, I think he got, like, taller or something.
Yeah, he's showing off more, too.
Yeah, he got some
and
lifts.
And blonder and whiter.
Yeah.
But he got lifts put in his boots, you know, that sort of thing. Hair dyed, you know.
So, yeah, there were two matches I mentioned that were real dogs in this pay-per-view that would make Miz versus Axel look good. This one kind of sort of made it shine, not brilliantly, but dully in comparison.
Yeah, I agree.
Sort of like a patina as opposed to a luster.
I will give these guys credit. The last couple minutes of the match, they sort of got you involved, kind of.
Yeah. They
tried. They tried their hardest to get you, like, Jericho tried really to get you excited, but not once throughout the match did I think Jericho was winning.
Yeah, the attempt was up, a good freaking look. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on that note, everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Talk Radio, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere, we're going to take our first time out of the evening. And come back with the rest of the pay-per-view. And, of course, we've got Staples. Aren't we doing something like, I don't know, is there a great debate tonight?
Great debate, quick hits, still to come on the show.
Yeah, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back in 25 minutes.
More like a 5.
And now, haiku time, with René Dasso Diane, some dumb as you get.
Cheap Heat Radio. Not at all ripped off. Truly, we would never lie.
Opinions mixed. Many arguments will be had, but Lita is a slut.
Wild Talk Radio. Home of Cheap Heat Radio. Inside Braden's belly.
Views expressed within, only those of guy talking. Standard boilerplate.
Got an indie show? Promote it on our show now. Many more people.
Wrestling gets discussed. Pop culture references made. Cheap Heat Radio.
Cheap Heat Radio. Our thoughts may not be true, but your sports team does suck.
We need ad ideas. Haikus are running their course. Next time the hosts rap.
Cheap Heat Radio. Join us at 8:30 time. 'Cause what else is on?
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, you out there, if you accidentally click on one of our Google ads whenever you're on the website, it wouldn't be the worst thing. Not telling you to do it now, or ever telling you to do it. But if you accidentally click one, well, wouldn't hurt. Plus, go to tjomega.org.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to?
Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. On the RVD Got Screwed Night, huh, Omega?
Me alone.
You're in mourning still.
I'm in denial.
That too. So, we move on to our where we left off onto the next match. World Heavyweight Championship. Alberto Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler. The fans want it. Ziggler, Lindsay.
Well, a lot of people want Ziggler, but we won't go there.
And there was something missing about Del Rio. That entrance.
You know, aside from a personality, an awesome ring announcer, and a good gimmick.
And a card. Don't forget the card.
Yeah, and a car. Don't forget the car.
Can't forget about that car. But the crowd finally woke up for this one.
Well, yeah, it's Ziggler. He was over like hell.
Yeah, yeah, he really was. And they had a pretty good match, Omega.
Seriously good match. You know, in no small part to this Gumby quality that Ziggler has, just bounce around like a goddamn Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. He did basically the X Factor from the top rope to Del Rio.
Yeah.
Which was impressive. Then he did Billy Gunn's Famouser.
he's been doing that lately.
He's done that for his entire career, but he was pulling out the DX, playbook tonight.
he's very, for some reason, he's particularly reminiscent tonight. I mean, coming out of the orange tank, all I could think was Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, there was a little Mr. Perfect with that orange tank, yeah.
He looked more like Mr. Perfect than his goddamn son did.
I would agree. Would you agree, Lindsay?
Yeah, I think we've all been saying that from day one about Ziggler. He's the bastard child of Kurt Hennig and Billy Gunn.
Right down to the boots.
It's Ziggler, just, yeah.
So they had a really strong match going on, and then out of nowhere, AJ's music comes down, and she starts to skip around the ring. And everyone was like, huh, what is she doing out here, including Ziggler?
You tiny little Looney Tune, you're going to screw this match over.
Who, you had Ziggler telling her to just go away, I got this. And, well, she was concerned, and, well, Ziggler got a little bit distracted.
A little bit.
They had a nice match going on. Del Rio goes for... We had a few close near falls. And then there was a shot where Del Rio was going for a super kick. Ziggler, I guess, ducked it. Spun him around and, well, AJ hit him with the belt. Laying out Del Rio and costing Dolph Ziggler the match. Alright, Lindsay.
What?
Say it.
Oh, what? Called it?
yeah, you kind of called it, didn't you, Thursday, huh?
Yeah.
Made it clear by disqualification, too.
Uh-huh.
Why can't you use that power when the lotto's running high or something?
I try. It doesn't work that way. It happens at random times. I have these moments of clarity. I'm sorry. I'll work on it.
They come to her in spurts.
Pretty much.
Apparently you're the mole.
No, I'm not the mole, because somebody else predicted something, didn't they?
Maze? Anyway.
No, I'm not talking about Maze. I'm looking in your direction, sir.
What did I call?
Orton?
Oh, we'll get there. Tim, are you with us now?
Apparently not.
Okay, back, but apparently not.
Yeah, I'm here.
What'd you think of Ziggler and Del Rio?
This time was your mic
match.
On.
Yeah, the mic was muted again. Mm-hmm. Never mind.
What'd you think of the match?
For the most part, it was great. Pissed me off that they had to do, let's get through AJ out there to interfere and fuck things up. I could handle Del Rio winning by nefarious means. I figured he was going to win. I chose him to win. I picked him to retain the title. Just didn't like the way they did it. But I do figure that this is the furtherance of Dolph Ziggler's face turn.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You've kind of been seeing it. They haven't had the two of them together, and, well, this is probably going to lead to something probably tomorrow.
I would think so. I could see them getting into the ring and her apologizing, shit like that, and saying, I don't want to hear it, blah, 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 blah. You know what? We're done. And having her be all upset and shit like that. And then Big E coming to her, backing her up and getting in Ziggler's face.
Mm-hmm. Big E comes to the rescue, and we get a Ziggler-Big E feud?
I could see that happening.
Where AJ
and they can use that to... They could actually use that to further Ziggler.
I think you play it the other way, where... You want to paint Ziggler as the face, so you actually do have the spot. You have the promo in the ring where he's trying to reconcile. You know...
okay, he got carried away, I understand. You know, Big E comes out, and he's just kind of window dressing for the whole thing. And then he completely blindsides Ziggler under AJ's orders.
And then AJ gets in his face and says, starts yapping about how he's gone weak and soft and all this other stuff, and he's not good enough for her because she's the champion and he's not.
Yeah,
I can see how. Yeah, okay, I can see how that would work. I can see it happening, and I wouldn't have problems either way. To tell you the truth, whether he drops her or she drops him, you know.
But it's coming very, very soon.
You know it is. One way or the other, whichever way they decide to take it, it's going there.
Yeah, just it's getting to that point. It's going there, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yep.
But yeah, Del Rio by the Q is your world heavyweight champion still.
Yay.
Excited.
Yeah, Jinx, you owe me a beer.
Yeah, exactly. Del Rio is your champion.
Yeah, yippee. So there it is. Overall, good match. Next is the other weak match that I alluded to, guys.
Weak? I would disagree with you on that one.
I alluded to it being a weak match. I expected it to be a weak match.
For the record, it's John Cena versus Mark Henry for the WWE title.
Yeah, for the record, that's the match we're talking about. It didn't disappoint.
If it didn't disappoint, how was it weak?
No, it was the one I was alluding to it being weak. Like before everything, like last week, I was saying this is going to be
last week being weak. Okay.
Yeah, and the match itself didn't really disappoint. It kind of sort of, and here we go with the references to previous storylines and stuff going on with WWE or back then WWF. You see Cena trying to put Henry in the attitude adjustment, not being able to, was reminiscent of Hulk Hogan trying to body slam Andre the Giant and not able to until the pay-per-view, tried a couple times, didn't work. Finally, he did it, which is kind of what happened tonight.
He did it, but it only led to a two, Lindsay.
It did. There were some issues where, well, the attitude adjustment just wasn't going to do it. So what can Cena possibly pull out of his bag of tricks to defeat Mark Henry?
Omega, you known to have some bag of tricks. What can he pull out?
Omega's been known to have a bag of tricks.
Really?
I was going with it. Just go with it.
Well, I could say certain things.
Silly rabbit.
You keep your mouth shut.
But apparently he did get the fleshlight you sent him, Lindsay.
Apparently.
And it looked like a pony.
I hate you
Twilight
all.
Sparkle.
I hate you all.
By the way, at this point, in 2 days, we should say, happy birthday, Omega.
In 2 days?
In 2 days.
That'll be on Tuesday. Why don't you be a special guest on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio Tuesday night at, 8 o'clock Eastern?
Wow, you don't even know your goddamn network.
Probably. It's Kayfabe Wrestling fucking radio.
And it's been 9 p.m. for about 4 years.
Okay. But I'm in mountain time, so that really screws things up, that's all.
It would be 7 Mountain, and it's been that way for 4 years.
You know, one of these days, Alan is going to, like, get really, really mad at the way we plug his show.
We? No. You.
Oh, no, I'm going down. I'm taking y'all with me.
Anyway, back to the bag of tricks, Omega.
Yeah. What you got in your bag of tricks, O?
You don't get to find out.
Okay, I'll stop listening right now. You tell the people tuned in.
Yeah, sure. That's how that
works. Not listening. Let me know when you're done. I'll start listening again.
You haven't listened to me in years.
I haven't listened to anyone.
Anyway. Somebody talking?
What do you think?
It was an okay match. It's better than I expected out of Cena and Henry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not... It's the same match Cena has every time he goes up against someone who's bigger or more powerful. It's, well, he hit him with the attitude adjustment. What else is he going to pull? I wonder.
You know, he doesn't have any other moves. Oh, wait, he does.
Shh, don't tell the internet.
Let's see, he's going to try a shitty STF. This looked shitty for the last 10 years, and he's still going to use it every single time. And if it doesn't work, he's either going to try it again, or he's going to try the attitude adjustment again.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, now Spunk had a really good point about him slapping. What?
You weren't supposed to be listening. We didn't tell you we were done.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you done yet? Can I listen again?
Yes, you can listen now.
Spunk had a really interesting point concerning Cena slapping on the final STF in the middle of the ring, which wasn't yet in the middle of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena having this really, really hard time getting Mark Henry up there to deliver the attitude adjustment, yet he could drag him across the ring.
Yeah.
See, it's shit like that that makes people not like you, John Cena. Fuck! I mean, if you're going to try to sell that you're having a hard time lifting him up onto your shoulders, sell the fact the guy's a heavy sumbitch and you're not dragging him halfway across the ring like he was a sack of potatoes. Unless it's a 400-pound sack of potatoes.
Exactly.
It's shit like that. Okay? There's the pinpoint. It's shit like that. Cena tries to make you believe that shit's hard to do, and then all of a sudden, he's Superman. We've only been saying it for 6 goddamn years. Okay, rant over.
Now, they try taking off the turnbuckle covers and trying to use that as the gimmick, and yeah, it's... The match was what it was. It was, you know, a solid match, told a good story, and then, well, the finish happened. You had Mark Henry tap out. Why?
He tapped out super quickly.
Yeah,
it wasn't
too.
A case of he was locked in for 3 minutes or 2 minutes. He had that sumbitch on for 15 seconds. Oh, fuck this.
World's strongest man taps out in 2 seconds.
World's strongest bitch now.
I posed this question to Lindsay yesterday. If Mark Henry loses this match, and he did tonight, he's done, right? He can't be taken seriously now, can he?
Are you asking me?
I'm just asking everybody.
It's just... I see it a lot, and it's one of the biggest things that irks me, that they keep forgetting to teach these guys to actually sell not just the submission finish, but the fact that you're supposed to be struggling against it. Don't tap out like a little bitch after it's been on for 2 seconds. Don't tap out like a little bitch as soon as it gets put on. I know it's the finish. You know it's the finish. It's also supposed to look like you're trying not to submit.
This was what Mark Henry wanted. This was his last shining thing to do. He wants the WWE title. Why would you give up?
Why would you give up that fucking fast?
Exactly.
Point.
Now, in answer to your question, Rock, because it's Mark Henry, the answer is no. He's not finished.
But can you take him seriously now?
In his career, shit has gone down where you have been unable to take him seriously for stretches at a time as a result of things similar to what happened earlier this evening.
Yeah, okay, but that's his that's past in his career. I'm talking about right now after the promo he cut.
That all depends on what happens leading up to the next pay-per-view match, if there is one.
Yeah, I want a yes or no answer, Tim.
And unfortunately, because I'm privy to bookings, I can't answer simply a yes or no because I'm looking at all the different possibilities.
Oh, for for fuck's sake.
Yes, it's either a yes or it is a no. And that's, you know, that's just it. It's either yes or no. It's not one or the other.
But if you look back at his career, you know, he hasn't been taken serious. Get that. But after that, I'll go to Lindsay because she can actually give me a yes or no answer.
Yeah, why ask me the same question 15 different ways when you know the answer you're going to get is exact fucking same?
So I'm going to go to Lindsay, who can actually give an answer. Like she does Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern on the Rec.
Oh, look at that. Slipping it in there. Ooh.
See what I did there?
Yeah, ninja plug.
Ninja plug. Is he effectively done at this point?
I don't think he's effectively done, but he's definitely hurt. I mean, the whole point of this match, the whole point of this feud was the fact that you're building up Mark Henry to face John Cena. You have him walk out there and give this amazing promo where he's talking about the only thing he hasn't done is win the WWE title and how his entire career will be validated when he wins that title. And what do you have him do? You have him walk out there and you have him lose. And not only do you have him lose, you have him tap out. So essentially Mark Henry has sent the message that his entire 17-year career is completely invalid because he gave up to John Cena tonight.
Exactly, and you can't buy a rematch either, because why? He tapped out once, he'll tap out again. No one's going to care.
Yeah, it's... You had one shot to do this for Henry, and one shot to really do something unique and special, and they blew it. Completely, 100% blew it.
If they had him take 2 minutes... or even 1 minute, fighting the urge to tap, making it look like, false tap.
No.
Like,
false
finish.
You want to know what you do?
Holding off, and then finally just giving up.
No, you don't. If you wanted John Cena to win this match the way he did by submission, remember that?
Are you going where I think you're going?
You make him pass out.
There you go. Yeah, Bret Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm. You make them.
It was effective. It worked, and it solidified Austin. It didn't pansy him backwards.
You made Mark Henry look weak. If you made him pass out, he just passed out from the pain. He didn't give up.
He looked stronger. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And tonight, 2 seconds. I'm done.
Yep.
That's WWE booking for you. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the end of Mark Henry.
Well, I wouldn't say so much as WWE booking so much as it's the guys in the ring, because let's face it, at the end of the day, they call the shots. They're told what to do. They have to come up with how to do it. And there are guys who are really good at doing it. Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, Ziggler is even coming along nicely. And then there are guys who are just, flash.
But it's a philosophy lately with the way WWE puts on submissions. They don't last long, and there isn't that struggle with the submission anymore.
It's like, where's Triple H giving these guys a lecture? If you gotta submit, make it look like they work for it.
I mean, for Mark Henry especially, they've done nothing but tout how he's the world's strongest man. He's done this. He's done that. He's done all these things that he gives up in 5 seconds. It's like you think of all the adversity that he's faced in his life, mm-hmm. everything that he's done, and then he gets in a match with John Cena, and he gives up in five seconds. Granted, that was the second time the STF got put on that night, but still... He gave up in 5 seconds. He barely put up a fight. It's like, dude, you're 400 pounds. You can pull a semi-tractor trailer, but you can't break a hold?
And, this goes to what you're talking about, Lindsay. It incorporates ring psychology. How much work did John Cena put in on Mark Henry's legs to chop the big man down? None. If he had done what Miz was doing in his match, what Jericho was doing in his match, focus on the legs. Then, okay, the quick tap out is more acceptable. Because, you've got damaged legs. Maybe you want to make people think that you got, torn cartilage, torn MCL or ACL or strained ligaments at the very least.
Work on the head, work on the legs, do something to make it seem like you done something to the monster. He's not just left to hold on.
Exactly. And this is angry wrestling vet advice. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that, you know, it's not my advice. It's a philosophy I believe in as far as being a believable worker in the wrestling ring. And a lot of people on Facebook, I'm sure, have read Angry Wrestling Vet's posts. If you don't follow him, you should, because he says some pretty smart shit that's, of course, naturally geared towards guys working in the industry. However, it's out there for the public to read if you follow him. And it's just, you know, little nuggets of wisdom. If you're going to, you know, if you're going to put across that you're an injury, sell it.
But they don't seem to do it, especially in big matches like that.
Which makes no sense at all.
No.
Because those are the matches you really want to get over.
Hell, there was a more of a struggle with the figure four in Miz, Curtis, Axel than in the main event. With
there was a more of a struggle in AJ's submission.
There you go.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, when the divas are getting a lesson in wrestling better than your main eventers, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is.
I'd agree.
Yep.
But that being said, the match is fine.
The match, like I said, it didn't disappoint. I expected it to. And as a result, I guess I was a little surprised.
It lived up to expectations and in some cases exceeded expectations until the finish.
Until the finish. Yeah.
And it's not to blame Cena because that's not Cena's fault.
No, not in this case it wasn't.
That's
but you want to blame Cena for something, blame him for having a hard time lifting up Mark Henry and then dragging him across the ring like he was, you know, a bunch of oranges.
Pretty much.
Just saying.
And now we get to the match Omega's been waiting to talk about all night long.
It's one of a kind!
It's the return of who, Omega?
The best.
RVD.
RDV? Who's that?
The whole...
Kill you later.
Yes, I had to do that. Just to make you feel better.
Rob Van Dam, the whole effing show, comes back to WWE and he blew the roof off of the Wells Fargo Center.
Oh, goodness.
That's probably part of why they put John Cena as...
Semi-main,
yeah, because they knew the reaction RVD would get. They knew that match was going to explode any time that he was even touching a ladder.
No. Isn't this the same crowd, albeit in a different venue, that held up signs that said, "If Cena wins, we riot"?
No. That's New York crowd.
Oh, that was New York?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was in Philly.
No, that was in the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City.
Okay.
Yeah. Philly's the ECW arena.
Yeah. Oh, shit, that was 7 years ago.
I was surprised about this. They brought out RVD first.
Yeah, I kind of figured they had to put him last because no one could follow the reaction.
Well, a couple people sort of did, but...
Punk nowhere near the extent.
Punk and Brian got really nice ovations. Not as loud as Van Damme's, but they got pretty nice ovations. But yeah, I was surprised. I thought, okay, Vince is going to build up to Van Damme, and he was the first one out.
At the same time, I could see why, okay, he gets the ring to himself. You know, they can take the time to introduce him and let him come out. I was kind of surprised they didn't even get his old pyro ready.
No, they didn't. What we get to the start of the match, the crowd chanting for Rob Van Dam Omega.
I think this kind of tipped off everyone else.
A little bit. What happened?
It's this six-way Mexican standoff. Nobody is making a move because everyone is watching everyone. But the louder the crowd chants for RVD, the more everyone else kind of looks at him. And all of a sudden, he starts to notice, come on, really?
And then in typical Rob Van Dam fashion, Lindsay points to himself and, gets what, killed?
He got halfway through the V.
Rob!
The cock!
pretty much, it's all the younger guys are standing there, they're looking at RVD, and it's like, yeah, okay, they've been chanting your name all night, they've been chanting your name since before the pay-per-view started, the moment is here, let's just take you out now, because I think, you know, it's just like, screw you, dude. And they take him out, and of course, you know, the second that CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and RVD all touch, the internet just, like, exploded. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there were people sitting at home smoking a cigarette right now going, damn, that was nice. Am I wrong?
No.
No, sadly not wrong.
Wrong not you are.
This was a really good match.
This was, they build this the All-Star Money in the Bank match.
Yeah, they started with, you know, they gave everyone moments to shine. Van Damme for Omega got to shine with all of his moves, including the Rolling Thunder and the kick off the top rope. No Van Damminator, but that's to be expected.
Oh, I was expecting a Van Terminator, because, you know, if the ladder's legal, you got a pretty easy way of using it.
Mm-hmm.
Am I the only one that noticed the bald spot?
Yeah, I didn't notice.
No. Heyman came out later.
I think she was referring to something else. Omega.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what, though, because I've got no idea.
Speaking of spots, there's a spot with a ladder that was leaned against a table in the ring, and
gee, I wonder why part of it looks like it has been painted over for no reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why could it have been painted over, Omega?
Jeez, it's as if they were trying to hide something.
I don't know what you're referring to. What would they possibly want to hide from the crowd?
I don't know.
Talk about that in a minute.
It's like they cut the ladder in half and then
put it back together
and glued it back and spray painted over the crease.
Omega, kayfabe.
I'm just saying that's what it looked like. I'm not saying that's what it was.
Omega, kayfabe it. Come on now.
This is Sunday night.
That's why I said kayfabe now. Kayfabe. Anyway,
you never reveal your gimmick.
Take us through the match, Tim.
No.
Yeah, come on.
Well, a bunch of guys did a bunch of things, and they all had their turns at one-on-one and attempting to get the briefcase.
There was a spot where Sheamus was going up for the belt, and then Rob Van Dam decided to come in and kick a ladder. And, well, Sheamus came down really, really awkward.
There were a couple of those moments tonight with Sheamus.
And Sheamus and Van Dam, they were not holding back with one another.
There was a little bit of payback.
He, like, rammed the ladder back into Van Dam's head, because you heard the clank of the ladder onto his head. Yeah,
well, about 15 or 10 minutes later, they got a good camera shot of Rob Van Dam's head, and he was nice and red at one part of his face, just above his left eye.
Mm-hmm, where a ladder went right into it, yeah.
And I'm like, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. Sheamus, did you see anything?
I didn't do it.
And he's like, what, me, fella? No. You know.
They all got the shine. Daniel Bryan really got the shine at one point as he took out, like, everybody, including, I believe, Sheamus, as somebody went crashing through a ladder.
Yes, Sheamus kind of went through a ladder that was bridged between the ring and the announce table.
Who could have called it?
And amazingly, it was just like the ladder broke in half.
It was magic.
It's not like it was a Looney Tunes moment or anything.
It seems to happen every time they do a ladder match now.
Yeah.
Never.
Not like it was a Looney Tunes match or moment.
It had to be magic because there was, you know, dust as if it was made of wood.
It was impressive. That Sheamus must be a pretty straight shooter. That ladder split so cleanly.
So we had some nice, you know, false people attempts at getting the briefcase. Then we have CM Punk all alone, Lindsay, ready to get the belt. Actually, before we got there, someone else came out. That's right. Someone came.
Yeah, Curtis Axel.
Curtis Axel showed up.
He did. And he was going to town on everybody. He beat up guys like Rob Van Dam. He did something to Christian. He even smashed CM Punk. CM Punk got even though and put him in the GTS. He didn't really like, you know, but Punk put him in the GTS.
He screwed Daniel Bryan, not CM Punk.
He did.
Yeah, according to my memory, the only one he actually did anything to was Daniel Bryan.
It was just Daniel Bryan took him off the ladder.
I remember there was part of me going, okay, he's probably out to further the feud with Punk, but this is WWE. What if they swerve and he's helping Van Dam?
You know, like Paul Heyman guy.
Yeah.
So Axel took out Bryan. Punk returned the favor with the GTS, and then Paul Heyman showed up, Lindsay.
He did show up.
And he wasn't happy, was he, with the Curtis Axel?
No, Curtis Axel kind of got yelled at just a touch by Mr. Heyman. It was
He's my friend. What are you doing? I want him to win.
Well, did he?
So you had Punk climb the ladder.
Heyman, get up there! Go!
With the encouragement. And then all of a sudden,
never mind. As I adjust this ladder,
something sort of happened. With that ladder.
Not once, not twice, not three times, but four times before he gave him a dirty look and then smashed him right in the face. Paul Heyman screwed CM Punk.
The return of the Philadelphia Screwjob. Thanks, Paul Heyman.
By the way, just to backtrack, the finish of the Ziggler match when AJ's in the ring and the crowd's chanting, "You screwed Ziggler," and there's part of me in the back of my head going, "That's his girlfriend. Duh."
I did the same thing. I'm not going to lie.
We had to work that back in there, Omega. Well done.
Golf slap.
So Heyman nails Punk with the ladder a few times, smashing into his knee, and then nails him in the head with it. Punk was bloody after that fact. So Punk's out of it, and so it's down to Van Dam, and Van Dam's ready to go, climbing up that ladder. Omega's going, "Go, Rob, go!" And, well, he didn't win.
I didn't think he'd win. But fuck WWE for giving me hope.
So Van Dam gets knocked off the ladder right into an RKO, which actually looked like it would have actually happened, not like, you know, coming right off the ladder, off a move and right into it.
Well, yeah, because he wasn't jumping off the top rope to do it.
Yeah. So it was a nice RKO off the ladder, leaving Randy Orton to climb that ladder and pull down the briefcase, Tim.
Yeah, I'm thinking, are you kidding? Really? Randy?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. Okay. Don't see how he was in the running, but all right.
They had nobody else?
They could have let Daniel Bryan win it.
Daniel Bryan doesn't need it.
They still could have let him.
Bryan had the momentum going into this. It would have been the better story.
Yep.
It would have, but it's sad that the guy with the most momentum, well, we always realize not going to win.
And at least not in WWE, he's not.
Yeah, especially not in WWE.
Yeah.
There was part of me in my mind going, who in this match do I want to see win this the least? And it was between Orton and Sheamus.
I would lean more to Sheamus for not winning.
Well, that's the thing, because they both bore the piss out of me. Mm-hmm. I was leaning towards Sheamus. But, at the very least, Sheamus, if he's going to be back in the main event picture, he kind of needs a boost like the Money in the Bank. Orton is a 9-time champion and labels himself the Apex Predator. He doesn't need it. At all.
But neither did John Cena.
You just remind me. You gotta remind me of that.
You're going to break Omega again. What are you doing?
I've been saying this for years. It's the last thing the Money in the Bank needs to be used for. It's supposed to be the it's supposed to basically be the King of the Ring replacement, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the match that's really tough to win. But if you win it, that's supposed to be, hey, here's your step up. You know, we're gonna do something with you now. This promises that at some point you're gonna have a main event match because we have that kind of faith in you. That's supposed to be it. That's supposed to be like the last push you get before you actually ascend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Main event guys don't fucking need it. There's the one thing that I always was worried that the Money in the Bank would become, and it's exactly what has happened to it, because WWE writers will take the easiest way they possibly can to write in a feud or a storyline. It's just a means to an end now. It is just to get the guys who have always been over again.
That being said, here's the irony. This is Randy Orton's first ever Money in the Bank win. Everybody else in that match has won.
Who fucking cares?
Just saying.
Christian Nobody else in the match had as many world title wins.
Christian never won it. Sheamus never won it. Sorry, Tim. Killing your logic.
Yes, they did. Shut up.
Driving a hole right into that logic, yeah.
No.
Well done.
Had to. Daniel Bryan never won it. Oh, yeah, he won it. So Sheamus and Orton and Christian.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that this is, you know...
Someone do the math for me. Count up how many WWE and World Championships the rest of the competitors had together, and tell me if it was as many as Orton has had by himself, and tell me he fucking needed that fucking briefcase.
Can you count two belts as one as two, or no? Two separate belts at the same time?
It's still one title reign.
Sheamus has, what, three? Daniel Bryan has one.
That's four. Christian's got one.
Christian has one. RVD has one.
Six.
Who else was in this match? CM Punk? He had multiple ones, so yeah, you're over nine.
Yeah, Punk's had at least three. He's had three. Hasn't he? It's been three.
It's been at least three. Christian had two, apparently.
Oh, he's had two. Okay, who's that a picture of? That's got to be CM Punk.
Either way, that's Punk, if you can tell by a tattoo behind the ear.
Put the picture up and warn people first, because, wow. Paul Heyman, you're in deep trouble.
Owie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeesh.
The following picture that I'm trying to tell Rock to put up on the thing... It's very graphic, it's very messy, it's very bloody. If you have weak stomachs, get ready to not look!
If the picture would, you know, be available to go up the way it should, it's not, so... Might not work, Tim.
Fix it, son of a bitch.
I don't feel like opening up Photoshop. Anyway.
You bastard.
I know, anyway.
Okay, put the link in the chat room.
You're in the chat room, go ahead. Anyway.
I can't.
Anyway, Punk is busted open, and it's probably on his Twitter, at CM Punk.
That's, what, at least six stitches, maybe a couple staples.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, try a bit more. That's a mighty gash on his head.
Oh, yeah, no, that's, you're looking at, like, what, a good 15 maybe for that one.
Yes,
yeah, at least 15 stitches for about five or six staples.
And that is
not one or the other. Wolf.
Yeah, it's available on.
And they say wrestling is fake.
Wrestling ain't real, but it really hurts. Thanks, Hulk Hogan.
Brother.
Brother.
So.
Yeah. So look forward to CM Punk selling and promoting his new baseball cap next Monday night.
Available now at WWEshop.com.
Yeah, it's a rush job. You'll be wearing it tomorrow.
It may or may not have a red stain in it already.
That'll be up for auction soon.
So, yeah, so there you go. There's your pay-per-view, kids. What'd you think? 8 matches. How many of them delivered?
The 2 ladder matches really delivered. The world title match delivered. The WWE title match delivered until the finish. Everything else was sort of there.
So how many are you saying delivered out of 8?
4 really delivered. Everything else was solid. It wasn't a bad show.
Okay. Lindsay, how many of them delivered for you?
I would say the first 2 and the Divas delivered. The John Cena match, the Mark Henry match, was okay. It was nicely done until it got to the finish, and then the finish just really killed it for me.
Okay.
The All-Stars match, while it was good, I don't think it was as good as the SmackDown Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown was more creative.
SmackDown was more creative. You had the guys in there that they were hungry. They had something to prove. You could tell that. And they were going after it because they knew this was potentially their only chance to really shine. The Heyman twist in the Raw one was really the best part of the match because it's the second Heyman came out there and he starts rooting for CM Punk, you're either expecting Brock Lesnar to walk out or you're expecting something to happen. And the first time Heyman hit Punk with that ladder, you're just going, did that just happen? So it's, yeah, the rest of it, they were solid, they were good, with the exception of Ryback and Jericho, poor Chris Jericho. But, you know, it was just, the rest of it was just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
So I give it a B.
There you go. Omega?
That's the hard part. This really was kind of a roller coaster pay-per-view where you had some really great matches.
Yep.
And much as I'll disagree with a lot of the endings, because I didn't want some screwball finish with Ziggler and Del Rio, and that's what they did. I could probably name 2 or 3 in the SmackDown Money in the Bank that I would prefer to win rather than Sandow. Then there's the whole finish with Henry and all that. And the finish on the Raw. But a lot of the matches did deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very happy to watch. Ultimately, I did thoroughly enjoy the pay-per-view. It just has a lot of hiccups in between the good. So that's right around a B+ for me.
B+, okay. For me, looking at the thing, 6 matches out of 8 delivered what I expected them to deliver. They may not have delivered how I expected them, you know what I mean? Like, you know, we're talking with the way they did some finishes and stuff like that. But I'm feeling that's a little too nitpicky for me. 6 out of 8, that's definitely, in my books, a B+.
Apparently we had a caller, but the caller decided to hang up before we got to them.
I wonder who that was.
I don't know. If you called in, please call back in and give us your take. We were coming right to you, but apparently not.
Where the hell's that area code from?
I have no idea.
Google it. It's your friend.
Give it to Chris Jericho. He'll be able to find people. He has Google Earth.
All right, let's try this one.
New York.
Anyway, we have a caller on WTR tonight. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, how you doing? My caller is Eric. Calling out of New York City.
What can we do for you tonight?
I just want to talk about the show, about the pay-per-view. I just finished watching it.
All right, give us your thoughts.
I felt like a couple of the matches delivered. I felt like after the Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio match, I felt like the matches went downhill after that. Didn't really like Randy Orton winning it. I mean, it was predictable. That's the only thing I got to say about that. It's very predictable. Like, they finished off SmackDown with Orton, you know, with the briefcase. They could have just done something different with that. The Cena-Henry match, very predictable. I saw Cena winning. I thought they were going to do something about, you know, maybe Daniel Bryan, Cena in the main event. The Ziggler match, oh, my God, AJ coming in. Like once you saw her come in, they could have done maybe an AJ turn on Ziggler and maybe have a feud with AJ and Big E and this is Ziggler. Didn't really get the last three matches. I felt like they undelivered that, but everything else, I felt like the best two matches were the pre-show match, which I think overall they should have substituted match with the Intercontinental match, because that tag team match was like pay-per-view worthy, mm-hmm. and the first Money in the Bank match was just like, it was just really awesome.
Okay.
You know?
Have you been listening to us all show, or did you like tune in halfway through, or what?
I just called in right now. I saw you guys on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Well, it's unfortunate that you weren't able to catch the entire show, because you brought up something that we actually did talk about as we were covering that portion of the pay-per-view. Of course, it's Ziggler and AJ and Big E Langston. To be able to get our perspective on what's going on, don't forget you'll be able to listen to the archive as early as tomorrow morning right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. But, yeah, we did talk about that, and we figure that something is going to go down tomorrow night between Ziggler, AJ, and we expect Big E to be there too.
Well, I mean, they could have had at least Vicky and Ryback. I know they were teasing it for a couple of weeks. They could have at least had her come out and be like, hey, Jericho, look, and, you know, Ryback, boom, shell shock out of the way, you know.
Well, yeah, it's an understandable idea because of what they've been teasing. However, in my opinion, it's too soon to put Vicky with Ryback.
Well, if they're going to do it, just might as well do it.
Wait for a couple of weeks. You got to build that up. You got to work that in. You remember, Vicky was fired Friday night SmackDown. You know, they're talking she had to buy her ticket, and she got escorted up by security. So they've got to play through that, right?
Right, exactly.
So as a result, you got to give something like that a couple of weeks. To tell you the truth, I hope they don't do it, but that's just a personal thing. If they do it, I understand why they would, naturally. But that's just me. I don't like Vicky.
I'm just pissed off about the Randy Orton match, though.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that I was personally pissed off about it. I can't answer for Lindsay Omega or Rock. I'll let them answer it. That for you, but I was surprised that they gave him the win and somewhat disappointed, but I wasn't pissed off. Guys, feel free to chip in.
I predicted him winning, so I wasn't surprised, and it was kind of expected just by the way they were building TV up. You had him go. You saw him going over.
Well, I mean, like, what are we paying for to see another 20th Randy Orton John Cena match? Like, didn't we see that in 2006?
I don't think we're going to see an Orton, though. We're probably not going there. Orton
and Del Rio, didn't we see that 2 months ago?
Not going Del Rio. You're probably... here's what I'm thinking. Daniel Bryan wins the title, and then Orton screws Bryan out of the title at SummerSlam.
What, so we can turn him heel?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's probably the probable reason, maybe?
That's the way, you know, that's how we see it potentially happening.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I see Orton as maybe second level Cena. Like, hey, we're going to cheer you, but we're going to boo you as well. That doesn't make freaking sense. We already have one of you guys like that. Why are we going to have another one? This is the kind of shit that pisses us off.
It's the best thing I can say. It's pro wrestling.
Yeah, it's WWE. That's the only thing we can say about that. Hey, I got a question for you. Are you a new listener? Like, is this the first time you checked us out?
I followed you on Twitter a couple of days ago. I wasn't listening to the show. I'm working right now. I didn't listen. Maybe you guys touched up on it. I just wanted to let out my feelings.
All good.
Absolutely, yeah, and thanks thanks for calling. I hope that you keep coming back to the website and check out all of our other shows. And, of course, Russ Talk Radio every Sunday night. Normal time is 10 o'clock Eastern, except for the pay-per-views.
All right, no problem. Just happy to let it out.
Thanks a lot, man. We're going to get moving on here. Once again, everybody, you can call in and say hi if you want. I think that Rock will let you do that.
Yeah, call in if you want to share your opinion really quickly because we're almost wrapping things up. But, yeah, every week you can call 267-297-1397. Call during the week. We have shows just about every day. And, yeah, you can leave us a voicemail, too, and we can play them on the shows as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do believe now it's time to take a look at WTR's Pick'em for this pay-per-view. What do you say, guys? Guys?
Let's talk about it, Tim.
I don't want to talk about it because it's just, no, you know. I'm laughing at you, of course, naturally, because
yeah,
you changed the
changed my mind. I would have been the outright winner of this whole thing if I didn't change my mind. There, so.
If you had not changed it, yes, there you go. However, as a result, you're not the outright winner. Hey, Tommy, are you listening? Where are you? Here you are. Oh, by the way, that 13 staples in CM Punk's head to close that.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. 13. Owie. Yeah. Tommy, congratulations. You went 6-2. You tied with Brent, Amy, Jed S., Rock, Mace.
Yeah, why does Jed get a... We only have one Jed around here, King Hands.
Why does he get the S? Is he, like, Jed Sucks or Jed Superman or
like,
what?
We have one Jed. Yeah, everyone... Anyway. Jersey Girl, King Kins, and Tommy. All went 6-2, so.
Now, going 5-3, shutout. What?
Hold on. Those three records are going to carry over to SummerSlam, and then we'll crown a winner from there, since there was no official tiebreaker on this one.
Okay, no official tiebreaker on this one. Carry it over to SummerSlam, and we'll dig up a prize for the ultimate winner.
Yes.
That sounds good. Now, tied for 7th. Michael Peterson, who's probably listening to the archive right now because he's in, like, Sweden or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's see, 11 p.m. Mountain.
Don't start doing math on this show.
It's, like, 7 a.m. for him, so he's probably just getting up to go to school or shit like that. But anyway, Michael,
hold on.
Starscream Josh, Scott Omega, me, Matt, Lindsay, Allen. What do you want?
Mace went 6-2 in the pick'em.
He
didn't hear it.
Mace, I'm sorry you didn't hear it, Mace. You went 6-2. You tied with all the other number ones this time. I didn't know he didn't hear it. Anyway, Rob came in at 15. Big Daddy Ace. Okay. Rob, Big Daddy Ace, and the lovely Wildcat Woman all went 4-4. So their record was 500.
All right, hold on. I want to clarify this thing for Rob. We made his picks for him except for like one match. So he went 4-4.
Oh, okay, because he was like drunk and passed out and hung up on.
He didn't remember the show at anything.
Yeah, well, you know, what did Subway? He put you on hold until the show was over and
then
came back. Everybody, my bong is empty.
Mm-hmm. And he went 2-6.
What a loser. Anyway, yeah. Vincent was 18th at 3-5. Ethan and Sub 2-6. So there are the results for WTR Pick'em.
Thanks for everybody for playing along. We do it every pay per view, et cetera, et cetera. We give out stuff, yada yada yada. So pay attention to WTR and all the other fine programming we do when we do Pick'em.
Absolutely. Now that's the entire show. Go home because we got nothing left.
No.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's time for the great debate, Tim.
It is.
But before we do.
What?
I want people's opinions.
What?
I demand opinions.
What?
I think Marshmallow Pizza are overrated.
Just the one I wanted on this topic, Omega. Thank you very much. Ultimate Warrior in WWE 2K14. People excited?
Hold on.
No.
Mace.
Why is it such a surprise he was in All Stars?
Mace.
Before we
do real opinions, to make it official.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
Omega thought he almost got off for the night.
I'm sorry, Prince. Omega, I didn't know they were going to do that.
Lindsay. I hate your face hole.
Lindsay. Lindsay.
What?
Hi.
Anyway.
That's a funny fucking picture.
Anyway,
so what's the great thing, Rock? Come on.
No, we're doing the roundtable. Outside
of WWE All-Stars, the Ultimate Warrior is making a return into the proper mainline WWE video game series with 2K14. Dumb. Are we excited? Especially because he's cutting all new promos.
Ooh, dumb. Fancy.
Dumb.
Oh, God. That's terrifying.
Dumb.
Yeah, he filmed promos last week in Los Angeles for the game.
He shows up tomorrow, and I'm going out for a smoke.
Yeah, I posed this question to him, and I'll throw it out in the air. What is going to be your reaction when the Ultimate Warrior shows up on Raw tomorrow night?
I'm going to check the temperature in hell.
Yeah, Lindsay, check the temperature in hell tonight, because if he shows up on Raw tomorrow, it'll be the day after hell froze over.
I'll stick the thermometer up Satan's ass when we get off the phone.
Woo!
Oh, God, what the anyway.
I'm just going to sit here praying they give him a microphone.
I'm going to sit here praying they put him on commentary.
If he doesn't show up in full makeup, then it's a waste of fucking time.
Oh, my God, could you imagine CM Punk and the Ultimate Warrior on commentary?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
CM
Vince,
Punk,
considering you take my stupid ideas and actually make them into reality,
Mole.
Do that one, bitch.
Mole.
CM
Mole.
Punk, Ultimate Warrior, and Damian Sandow.
Oh, good Lord.
You're welcome.
Just Warrior and Sandow.
Fuck Punk.
Just Warrior and Sandow would be like insanity.
Insane gold.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
But yes, okay. By the way, good on you, 2K, for your, you know, letting this accidentally slip out before the announcement is made, and you tease the images on Facebook, and everybody's going, it's the fucking Warrior, it's the Warrior, it's the Warrior, it's the Warrior.
No, the best was, oh my God, it's Bruno. Like the first 2 days, oh my God, it's Bruno, just tell us already, it's Bruno.
You know, the only thing that I'm disappointed with is we don't get Batista in this game as well, so we could have the ultimate, you know, rope-shaking face-off.
Oh, I'm sure somebody will make a model of him.
But it's not the same.
I know.
And anywho, I think it's now time for our great debate, Tim.
Yeah, it's time for the great debate. You should play the music.
Yeah. Welcome to this week's Great Debate. Join the hosts as they debate the greatest WWE champion of all time.
When that bell rings and the match is over, you are looking at the next WWE champion, and that's the
This belongs to me, and this you earn with blood, with sweat, with tears, and for 428 days, I have done just that. I have earned this. I have earned the right to be called champion. I have earned the right to be the man.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
Apparently the chat room wants Barry Horowitz, Brooklyn Brawler, and the Goon in WWE 2K14.
Look, as long as the Usos are on the main roster, people will be happy.
Alright, so apparently we got to do this really, 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 really super fast, and Mace go super long. Eddie Guerrero versus CM Punk.
CM Punk.
Why?
Because CM Punk, 400 and something odd days, Heyman, storyline's good.
Heyman, storyline, good. Yeah, okay. Omega.
Ah, crap.
Drag this out, please. Drag it out.
Well, if I really have to pick... Oh, gee, I think I have to go.
No.
Being summoned.
No, that doesn't work.
Come on! Something could be stepping on you right now. I have to go.
No, Omega, make a pick. Apparently we really gotta go fast, because apparently we have to go fast.
CM Punk.
Why?
Longest modern title reign, good storylines, worked his face and heel.
Okay.
All around more memorable.
Lindsay.
I'm gonna make it 3-3. CM Punk. I was there for Eddie's reign, and sadly, I don't even remember it. The one moment I remember is Eddie and He Who Shall Not Be Named standing in the middle of the ring together at WrestleMania celebrating their collective title victories. But beyond that, I really don't remember anything about Eddie, and I feel like a horrible fan for saying that. But I have to go with Punk. I really do in this case.
Tim?
You're a horrible fan, and you'll be punished later.
Punk's reign was great and deserves to be picked. However, I'm going to pick Eddie because it was guys like Eddie who opened the door wide for guys like Punk.
Promise?
So, Eddie.
Cena, Triple H as CM Punk moves on. Mace.
We're doing what again now?
John Cena versus Triple H.
Triple H.
Why?
Surprisingly enough, because Triple H always brought a good intensity to his matches. He was a guy that you knew that was formulaic as hell, but at least made it entertaining. And any reason to get Superman out of the competition.
Lindsay.
I gotta go with Hunter. I just think he's an all-around better champion. I think when you... I mean, honestly, no offense to Cena, but when you look at... When you think of a champion, I think of Hunter. I really do. Maybe it's because he's had the belt 15 billion times, but... When I first started watching wrestling, he was champion. I think that was like his first or second title reign. And he, at least, he, for me, epitomizes what a champion is and always has and probably always will. So, Hunter.
Come on, Omega. Pick John Cena. Dare you.
You can't make me.
Dare you.
No.
Double dog.
No.
Triple dog dare you.
There is no flagpole here, sir. No, it's all about the game.
Christmas story
it.
Reference, by the way.
He works as a champion, as a face, he works as a heel, and when he wins, it is with different varieties. He's either scheming to hold that belt, or he is dominating to regain it. Whether it's with the corporation, with DX, Solo, Evolution. He's done this a lot.
Sorry.
Just don't ask him to work Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And we'll play.
Here's the thing. It's a lot of variety to each one of his title reigns. There's differences between each reign. You can't say that about a guy like Cena, who has spent a decade doing basically the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tim.
Well, keep in mind that when Hunter was the main event, he was getting the same kind of heat and reaction that John Cena is getting today. John Cena is the man. However, simply because he's got a better work rate, he's got better ring psychology, and he tells a better fucking story in the ring, Triple H.
So the game and CM Punk move on. Next week, Ric Flair versus Shawn Michaels. Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
The match the WWE would never book.
That's next week on The Great Debate. But now, Tim?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Let's start with Tim, apparently. Let's start with Tim. Tim.
What?
Have you ever opened your wallet and wondered if your dollar bills have ever been up a stripper's butt crack?
No, I don't keep my dollar bills in my wallet, so the answer is no.
But have you ever wondered if your dollar bills were in a stripper's butt crack?
No, because I actually don't carry money. I use my debit card for everything.
Okay. And he's the one putting the dollar bills in the stripper's butt crack.
I would need to have money to do that. I told you, I use a debit card. Where the hell am I supposed to swipe that?
In the butt crack.
Never mind.
Thank Moving you, on. Omega.
Hey, thank me for setting them up for that. Anyway, moving on.
No one's really thought of this, you know. I mean, one day when paper money is just a memory and everyone is using a debit card, strippers are going to have a really tough time.
Well, they have this thing you can plug into your iPhone now that swipes credit cards.
She's going to need a really creative place to keep it.
Well, you could get it. Never mind. I was going to say you could get a different kind of plug, but, well...
Anyway, moving on. Mace, why aren't there ghosts of dinosaurs?
Because they can't fit in the hallways and cupboards. Because then some bloody big ghosts.
Bloody big ghosts.
Yep.
Lindsay, if blood is thicker than water and syrup is thicker than blood, are pancakes more important than family?
No.
Why not?
Because family is the most important of all.
Plus, family can make you count pancakes.
True.
There you go. Omega, if Apple made a car, would it have windows?
No, it would have these little touch screens that look like windows, but they're actually just really complicated screens.
Gotcha. Tim, you paying attention?
I'm listening.
Respond to this.
Usually Canadians, to be honest, are very dry and kind of not exactly outgoing, you know, fun-loving cut-up.
Respond.
Typical stupid fucking American doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Okay, I'm done.
Is that all you got to say?
What else is there to say? He's talking out of his ass like most fucking Americans do.
By the way, if you haven't heard our interview with James U. Cornette, go to the archives right here at wildtalkradio.com. This is our interview with Jim Cornette from The Rack this past Thursday night.
We'll let him know so he can chase your car down.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. This is where we say bye, Tim.
Yeah, okay. See you later. I got to run. Sorry, I can't finish off the show, but it's some personal business I have to go to attend to. It's kind of important. So have fun. Bye.
Bye, Tim. There we go. We go to Mace. If you download music illegally in Jamaica, would that make you a pirate of the Caribbean?
Yes, it would. It would make you one very, very funky pirate.
Okay. Lindsay, what if the Hokey Pokey really is what it's all about?
Then it would be awesome.
Why would it be awesome?
Because all we would do is do the Hokey Pokey all day. We would finally all get exercise, and it would be amazing. Just think of us all standing here doing the Hokey Pokey on Skype, and somebody would inevitably bat their headset off and break it in the wall, and then we would hear nothing but static and crackling and cursing, and it'd be amazing. Never mind the video that we could potentially get.
We can become viral sensations like Omega.
Exactly.
Because he has this whole YouTube thing. Anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. But speaking of Omega...
I could name worse viral sensations to be.
It could be Honey Boo Boo. Anyway, with Scratch and Sniff.
I was going to go with Lita, but thank you.
Well, they haven't made a Scratch and Sniff game for Lita yet.
No, you don't need a Scratch to sniff her.
There you go. Omega.
You will be scratching after you sniff her.
Anyway, got no comeback, so we'll just go with this. Before sliced bread, Omega, what was the greatest thing?
The knife to cut the fucking thing.
Really?
You kind of need one with it to get the other.
This is true. So at this point, we say, that's our show for the evening. Everyone in the chat room, wish Omega happy birthday. Everyone on this call, wish Omega a happy birthday.
I love you, people.
Or no one's giving a shit, either.
No, it's called I Am Reserving My Obnoxious Birthday Message for His Actual Birthday.
Yeah, and considering more than likely we're going to be celebrating his birthday by playing Borderlands 2, I get to say it then.
Then we all get to be on that call. Just because this is a milestone birthday, so we get to be extra obnoxious.
The chat room says happy birthday, Omega.
Thank you, people who actually care.
Oh, we care! If it makes you feel better. We do care, but we just love giving you shit more.
So, yeah, his birthday is technically Tuesday, so you can tweet him happy birthday at TJ Omega on Twitter.
That's gonna be an interesting day.
tomorrow night is the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Join myself and Lindsay. We'll recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw live from Brooklyn. Tuesday night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcicki. He'll be speaking to the new Shine champion and Shane Helms. Wednesday night, GP Radio, 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Scott Barry and Matthew Fusina. Thursday night, Lindsay, The Rack.
Yes, if you missed it, tune in for our interview with James E. Cornette in the archives from last week. It was awesome. He's amazing. This week, we'll probably be talking about Money in the Bank. We'll be talking news, notes, discussions, all that fun stuff. So tune in Thursday night. Listen. We'll talk about Impact 2. It's going to be fun. So 11 p.m. Eastern.
Wow.
Thursday night. Be there.
Wow. Screws up her own time.
Wow. I fixed it!
Saturday night around 10, we'll be playing Cards Against Humanity because we're evil like that. Then midnight ish at CB Radio with myself, Prop Parks, if he remembers the goddamn show, and Subway, who won't, you know, hopefully doesn't put us on hold for an hour. It's CB Radio, it's weird, it's wacky, it's unusual. We'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, live here on the Mall Talk Radio Network for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. And let me read this properly. Please plug that we will be talking Canadian All-Pro Wrestling Settle-Up next week on the show. So,
yay, week off!
So there you go. Go to CanadianAllPro.com. Mace?
This weekend is the Penny Arcade Expo down here in Australia, so keep an eye on the website for hopefully videos, also audio interviews with many independent and big-time developers all throughout the weekend. I will do my best to update while I'm at the expo, but other than that, keep an eye on the website on a Friday night and about, not this weekend, not the weekend after, the weekend after that.
And then the weekend after that, and after that, and after
that. The three weeks from now, where hopefully Omega and I will actually be available to play video games.
Hopefully. Maybe.
Hopefully.
Maybe.
Because I should have a new net connection by then, and neither of us will be doing conventions. Because I'm conventioning this weekend, and he's conventioning next weekend, so... Timetables, yay!
Follow Mace at the Mace thing on Twitter, and he'll probably be sending updates through there from the PAX convention.
Indeed.
Omega, plug something.
Well, you already plugged my Twitter account at TJ Omega. You can also plug my YouTube channel, which is also TJ Omega, my website, which is tjomega.org, or my Facebook page, which is TJ Reviews. Fuck you, TJ Omega, on Facebook.
And if people want to ask a certain voice actor a question, they have, like, till tomorrow to ask them questions.
Mm-hmm. Still accepting questions for 24 hours to ask questions to possibly the most insane man to ever voice your beloved cartoon characters.
Give the person's name.
That would be the one and only Scott McNeil.
There you go. Gotta actually throw out the name so people know who you're talking about.
The one who likes me.
The only one. Anyway, let's see something.
You can go to my Twitter, at Lins Ward, L-A-N-S-W-A-R-D. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com, which is getting a new layout, finally, after months and months and months and years and whatnots. So stay tuned. That will be posted hopefully shortly if I get the gumption to build the image galleries. Go to CastyRiley.net, which I will then update next. And go to my DeviantArt, linsward.deviantart.com, and behance.net/linsward.
Follow us on
and Twitter. Listen to the Rack, rackradioshow.com.
Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Join the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork, WTRProductions.net. We will see you when we see you on all the shows we do, because, well, me and Lindsay do a lot of them, and that sort of thing. See you tomorrow night for a Rumpus show. See you next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night, where we'll be talking Saddle Up, apparently, because that's what Tim's plug was. So, good night, everybody.
I need my own website.
Don't, they're more trouble than they're worth.
But everybody else has one.
I have plenty of websites.
Be the rebel.
Seriously, dude, don't do it.
Coming soon, themacething.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.